So our passage from Mark's Gospel today consists of two stories narrating conflicts between Jesus and the Pharisees over proper observance of the Sabbath, the day of rest mandated in the Torah. And these stories are the last two of a series of controversies between Jesus and various opponents, which make up the entire second chapter and the first few verses of the third chapter of Mark's Gospel. Now, we might be tempted to say, so what? The Sabbath is anything but controversial in our society. It is observed voluntarily by a minority of people. So it is fair to say that, at first glance, any controversy over how to keep the Sabbath properly is irrelevant to us. It doesn't matter to us at all. But if you think about it, the practice of keeping the Sabbath in Jesus' day is comparable to the benefits that we enjoy in our day of limited working hours or days off, usually on weekends, or vacations, or having the privilege of retiring, for that matter. We might take these for granted, but they were hard won by the labor movement in the 19th and 20th centuries. Imagine how bad it would be if businesses were allowed to make us work all day long, every day of the year, every day of our lives, without rest. It would be oppressive. So, seen in that light, we can understand why proper Sabbath observance might matter so much to Jesus and his contemporaries. And if we put a little more thought into it, we can begin to see how, in a way, keeping the Sabbath properly can matter to us as well. God commanded God's people to keep the Sabbath, the day of rest, in the law God gave to Moses on Sinai, and you may remember it as one of the Ten Commandments. On the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, God's people were required to refrain from doing any work. And indeed, in the first creation story in the book of Genesis, it says that even God themselves observed the Sabbath, where it says, on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. Indeed, keeping the Sabbath was so important that those who failed to do so were supposed to be put to death. This is why, when Jesus heals the man with the withered hand in the synagogue on the Sabbath, the Pharisees immediately go out and conspire with the Herodians as to how to destroy him. And by the way, the Herodians were agents of the then ruler of Galilee, Herod Antipas, who had been given the authority by the Romans to carry out capital punishment in his territory, authority which the Pharisees lacked, which is why they got together with the Herodians. Now, that might make keeping the Sabbath sound forbidding, But as one commentator explains, the strict Sabbath rules were not regarded as a burden. Keeping them was a sign of joyous obedience to God and of God's acceptance. The Sabbath was a sign of freedom for God's people, a reminder to them of God's liberating act at the Exodus. Even slaves, who as a rule do not enjoy rights or benefits of any kind, were given the right to rest on the Sabbath. But there was one problem with knowing how to keep the Sabbath properly, however, and that was, with the exception of gathering sticks, of all things, nowhere in the Torah does it say what counts as work that you are not permitted to do, on pain of death, let us not forget. Keeping the Sabbath was, in principle, a life or death matter, but God's people had little or no guidance as to how to do it. What this meant was that, as one commentator explains, lists of what is to be considered work and the issue of who has the authority to make such lists were thus matters of supreme importance. That the scriptures didn't say what counted as work explains the controversy between Jesus and the Pharisees. What it all boiled down to was who had the authority to decide what you were or weren't allowed to do. The Pharisees would have appealed to traditions that most likely evolved into the codified Sabbath rules found in the later rabbinic writings. But Jesus, in a manner typical of how he behaves in Mark's gospel, appeals to his own authority, saying, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Now it is important to keep in mind that Jesus is not annulling observance of the Sabbath. As we saw, the Sabbath is about freedom. Jesus's message about the kingdom of God was all about freedom. So that means that Jesus was all for keeping the Sabbath. What he was doing then was saying that he had the authority to redefine what it looked like to keep the Sabbath as God truly intended. Jesus argues his case first by referring to a story from Scripture where David overrules the letter of the Torah in order to meet his own needs and those of his companions. And second, by appealing to a widely accepted principle that it was lawful to work on the Sabbath if it saved life, when he asks, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" For Jesus, then, in order for the Sabbath to be the sign of freedom that God intended it to be, it meant that you kept the Sabbath properly, not so much by not doing prohibited work, but by meeting deep human needs for sufficiency and wholeness. If by keeping the Sabbath you are keeping the first great commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, then you kept the Sabbath by keeping the second great commandment, the commandment to love your neighbor as yourself. When we understand what Jesus intended observance of the Sabbath to look like, we can begin to see that although we are not required to keep the Sabbath, strictly speaking, we can fulfill the spirit of Jesus's intent by adopting what one commentator calls a Sabbath perspective. Part of what it looks like to look at the world with a Sabbath perspective is to ask questions such as, who is in need of life when no one else seems to notice? The purpose of having a Sabbath perspective is to enable us to keep on fighting for those for whom life has been taken away. We rest as God desires us to, not so much because we deserve it as a reward for all our hard work, but in order that, being rested and refreshed, we have the strength to challenge and change those structures that deny the right to well-being to those on the margins of our society. Consider people who are homeless. At first glance, it may appear that people who panhandle do nothing but sit around all day. But in reality, their lives are an endless slog in which they are constantly dealing with hunger and thirst, exposure to hazardous weather, discomfort, and even threats to their personal safety, to say nothing of the mental health challenges that many homeless people face. The purpose of keeping the Sabbath is so that we are able to work to ensure that those people, who after all are also God's beloved children, may enjoy the freedom to rest too. So may the Sabbath, however you choose to keep it, be for you a time of rest and refreshment, and may it always remind you of the freedom God desires for you and for all God's people.